Welcome to the Lost Op podcast and the fifth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride With GPS. Day four at TPR number five, and today is all about two things. First, our leading group of riders are now heading back east on the return leg to San Sebastian. In their way is the Ray Parkour, a long stretch of iconic cols that's enough to challenge any cyclist, even without long days of pedaling in the legs. But most of the action today is likely to take place at Control Point 4 in Prulan. If our riders want to complete TPR within general classification, they need to arrive by 4 p.m. local time. Control Team 2 are going to be stationed at CP4 for most of the day. Before we hear from them though, here's David Eyre, race director, with an update from the front.
Control Team 1 woke up this morning in Port Vondra on the Mediterranean coastline. We had been down to the control point in Albania in Catalonia late last night to make sure that they were all set up for the first arrivals, and then made our way back out to the coastline. Early this morning in the wee hours, Tim De Vita was the first rider to arrive at Control Point 5. He was surprised to learn that he was in first place. He'd apparently had some problems with the snap gear cable and a couple of other mechanicals overnight, so he's now pressing on with a renewed sense of purpose after learning his position during the race. He has a large group of riders in hot pursuit of him: Maxime Agut, Lucas Stripmatter, Thomas Bury, and a few others are all close on Tim's tail and giving him the kind of purpose to keep pushing those pedals.
Another rider aiming to retain a place at the sharp end of the leaderboard is Frank Gabarou, Cap 42. The team catch him enjoying breakfast on the coastal Parkour 5.
This night, crevaison, a flat,
oh, okay.
Four flat in the night. My light doesn't work, but with the wide very strong. awful. So now I will try to go in figure to find a new tie and stay calm. But I think to reach the goal, uh-huh, stay calm. Yeah, but I want to stay in the top 10, but the other rider is so very strong.
Yeah.
So, wow.
I saw you descending earlier and that was...
Yeah.
The video of you.
Yeah, very nice, beautiful.
Thomas took a really, really nice photo as well. And then I was looking at my Instagram, because I tagged you.
Yeah.
And I saw that... I wrote a message to you last year and you replied and said, I will be back next year.
Yeah. Remember? Yeah. Next to Figuera, yeah.
Yeah. You said, I'll be back next year more strong.
Yeah. And this year I'm more strong last year, but the TPR is more difficult. It's more difficult. And the first day I start very fast, to and the CP have changed and go back. Awful, and so yeah, I'm better than last year, but the race is better, strong too. Yeah, but I never give up me, so I go to the end and I hope to finish in the top 10.
With Control Team 1 chasing the leading riders to try and capture them in action, we're heading to Prulan and CP4. After a grueling first day for our riders, the cut-off time for general classification was moved back 6 hours. Many of them are pushing hard to try and make it by 4 p.m. First to arrive is Joanna Raminska-Petersich, Cap 63. She's the fastest woman on the race so far, blissfully unaware of how well she's riding.
Frozen for boots.
Ah, well, come and warm up by the fire.
Oh, the fire! Well, wonderful. Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Welcome.
Do you have any interest in knowing what position you're in when you get to a control point? Or are you just happy to get the stamp on your brevet card?
There you go. I'm happy to get the stamp, but I might know as well.
Do you want to know?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so you're number 27.
Fast woman. Yes. Fast woman.
Really?
Yes, you're the first woman.
Where are the other girls? Sleeping.
Behind you.
Behind me.
Yeah, but I made a really good decision to sleep last night.
Yes.
Because it would be too cold up there. So yeah.
Where did you stay last night?
Oh, in the last town before the start of the parkour.
In Lesso?
Yes.
Yeah. You got a hotel?
Yeah, 1-star hotel, and I got inside, and there were like 10 bikes. So I think, you know, all 1-star hotels make a roaring business because of the race. It was so, yeah.
And how was parkour four?
It was all right. I would say it was mostly rideable and beautiful as well. I mean, I rode part of it in darkness, but when the sun rose, the views were really beautiful. So yeah, it was very nice.
Another rider into CP4 is TPR veteran Stephen Kennedy. Despite the fatigue, he's been enjoying the landscape and taking in some poignant personal moments.
The progress has been so slow the last day or so. It's been amazing though. Yesterday morning I was on a real like high. Because like I went over that hiker bike, the more direct one.
Forget the one from Benask.
Yeah, that's the one. I started it at like 5:30 in the morning. And basically it was obviously pretty annoying pushing your bike up there. But it was like completely pitch black, just the stars. There wasn't even any moon. Could just see a few lights of like other people coming up. It was all pretty magical. But then when I got to like about 500 metres from the top, literally, you could see all the peaks around me in the cold. And it was like, that's just when the glow of the sky just like started. And I literally pushed my bike over the top. And it was like orange glow, all the mist of the valley down below. And it was just like, you know, I'd been just looking at my feet all the time in the dark. It was suddenly light at the top. It was just, yeah, I don't know.
What a special experience.
Yeah, I know, it did make me think about a lot of crazy things, really. But particularly just, yeah, exactly. Everyone always says these races put you in situations that you obviously never would be in. But
you'd never choose to be there, would you, if you were just bike touring?
Exactly. But yeah, it was all pretty, like, emotional as well, just because my motivation for doing it this time is, yeah, related to my mum. So, yeah, sadly she passed away a few months ago, so, yeah, just felt like really sort of close to her at that moment. So.
That's so nice to hear. Can I give you a hug?
Yeah.
Does it feel like she's with you on this ride?
Yeah, that's definitely the motivation. And yeah, doing a little fundraiser and stuff, and people have been writing messages. It's all been like very, very hard at times, but no.
I'm sure she'd be really proud of you.
Thanks.
Hélène Fromenty, Cap 52, also arrives at CP4 with plenty of time to spare.
Yeah, I'm super happy with my legs first, and everything, so I think it's good to just focus on myself and we'll see what happens.
That's a great approach. And you're enjoying yourself?
Yeah, a lot. I'm super happy of the last two parkours. Like, it's really been great gravel and I could ride, so it was great because the parkour 2 was a bit too MTV for my bike and my tires, so yeah, the two last one were like gorgeous views, and like this last downhill was like fantastic. So it was really cool. Yeah. I liked it.
Have you been seeing many other riders out on the road?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, not for so long, but we, like with some people, we like took over and like passed each other's. And yeah, sometimes we just speak a little bit. But I'm looking forward to a proper conversation with the older riders and to know like how are the hike bikes, which path they took. Yeah.
Helga Meyer, Cap 53, rolls into CP4 and immediately makes use of the facilities.
3 minutes or so.
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
So long, I was on toilet. Oh man, wasted time.
If you need to go, you need to go.
Yeah.
I guess there's not many toilets up on the parkour.
No, it's not. I don't stop, so no time on the parkour.
All about efficiency.
Yes. Don't waste the time. Yeah, and it was so beautiful. I know the climb was like on chunky gravel, but for sure it was Gucci gravel on the downhill, and so was it. It was nice. Perfect lines. It was great.
And what are the views like up there?
So red trees, the leaves of the trees. Beautiful. And the green and brown forest. Amazing. I make one photo. It will be good.
Where some riders are feeling the struggle after days on the road, Jonas Weisbeck, Cap 65, makes the CP4 cutoff time and seems to be growing into the race.
But it feels like everything is getting much better from now on. Like the first few days were always tough for me usually, and then it gets better after a few days. So.
Is that because of the terrain or because you're settling into the rhythm of the race?
Yeah, settling into the rhythm and the body, like getting used to it. Getting over the pain. So already had a crash on the first 20 kilometers of the start parkour, which kind of messed my brain a little bit for the first day to get over it again. So I got the blood and sweat out already, and now I'm still waiting for the tears, but I think I'll get there.
Happy tears or
emotional? Yeah, probably more happy tears. Yeah, from the beautiful mountains. Already was close to it, but I think there's more to come. So.
Nicole van Battenberg continues her strong ride and arrives at CP4 in good spirits, despite having a cold.
I was super happy that I started in the dark, and then with the descent, I don't know, it felt like I was surfing, like it was perfect gravel, and especially compared to the other parkours, this one was really amazing. And when I woke up, I was really like, okay, I need to scratch because my throat and everything, it's horrible actually. But every time when I start cycling, I forget about it. So I feel like that's the way to go. Just continue and yeah. But I try not to push it too much because otherwise, yeah, it's not really healthy. And I measured my temperature and I didn't have a fever. So I was like, okay, as long as I don't have a fever, I can continue.
As long as your body feels okay on the bike,
yeah,
you're probably okay.
Yeah. I'm actually quite nervous for my Spotify Wrapped already, you know, like at the end of the year when you do like the Spotify Wrapped. It's
yeah. What have you been listening to?
I've been listening to the same song for like seven, like the whole parcours. And it's like, it's a Dutch song. It's called Shirt Uit, which means take off your shirt.
It's too cold for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Just one song on repeat.
Yeah, but that's what I always do when I'm doing an ultra. So this, at the end of this year, it's going to be embarrassing. And also Taylor Swift, like the first, because Taylor Swift's album came out at 6 on the day that we started. So I downloaded it very quickly. And then for the first like 12 hours, I just listened to Taylor Swift. So I'm probably the person who has listened to it the most.
So you might be in that top 1% when Spotify Wrapped comes around.
Yeah, definitely.
After sharing his hotel nightmare with us yesterday, Joost Klarenby makes it to CP4 early in the afternoon. However, he's having some understandable doubts over his choice of footwear for this race.
I slept in Saint-Eugène, in another hotel, so it feels like I'm on a luxury holiday. Actually, when I opened the room, I was really scared there was going to be a person in there again. I was so scared. I think I'm like half traumatized by it. It's really weird.
You've got road cycling shoes with a carbon sole and some road cleats. They're looking pretty worn out.
Yeah.
Are they clipping in okay to your pedals?
No, not anymore. So much. But.
Do you have spares?
Yes. Uh-huh. But actually, last DPR number 3, I had such a nightmare with my mountain bike shoes. And ever since, I've just not worn them anymore.
You've brought some spare cleats along, but they've clearly already had quite a lot of use already.
Yeah, they're used. Yeah, for sure. I just took them off some other shoes I had. But I'm going past Puigcerdà now, so I can buy some more if I need it. Mm. I was actually surprised that they worn out so quickly, but...
I guess road cycling cleats aren't really designed for hike or bike.
No.
Adrian De Glees and Jill Hauser, Cat 131 A and B, are currently second in the pairs category. They trail Timo Kellner and Marcus Baden by just a few hours and have reached CP4 within the cutoff time.
It's really, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Sure, we are happy at the top on the uphill and happy when the downhill is also good to ride, to have a little bit fun also. But I think it's so pretty amazing. So the view and the landscape. Enough space.
Not enough time, and though.
time
is the limiting factor.
We need more legs, maybe.
I hear there's a shop where you can get some down in the valley.
Oh, some legs. Yeah. Great.
But maybe it's already, comment dit, les rayons, ils sont vides.
Empty shelves, probably, given the people who went there already.
Tom Probert, Cat 117. Has been race reporter on plenty of Lost Dot races, including the Trans-Pyrenees race. He's also an experienced ultra racer and seems to be enjoying the experience of being back on the bike instead of holding the mic.
I've really enjoyed all of the parkours. I even enjoyed my hiker bike misadventure. It actually feels quite cool to be like walking around with a bike on your back through like this really rugged terrain. Something I would absolutely never normally do. So kind of being forced into that made me realise actually, yeah, it's quite cool and see the positives of it. But yeah, the parkours have been great. Like mostly rideable and mostly just on that sweet spot of like technically difficult enough to be fun, but not too rough that it's like feels dangerous or you wish you had a mountain bike. So yeah, it's been enjoyed all that stuff.
And what tires are you on? You've brought some maybe 35mm.
Yeah, you can spot a tire from 5 meters away. Yeah, they're it's exactly that. Yeah, 35mm, basically like a central bit that's slick and then very light gravel tread either side, and they've been fine. Yeah, just at a low pressure tubeless.
It's like the perfect middle ground for going from road to off-road.
Yeah. No, they felt great on all of the off-road bits. Happy with all my decisions on setup and stuff.
Yeah.
Tom Cooling, Cat 116, had to scratch at last year's TPR. He's brought a small memento for motivation this time around.
So you're carrying around last year's Brevet card?
Yeah.
It's in pristine condition.
It's only got used for a day, didn't it?
Well, you've carried it for several days here.
So I cycled past the hotel in Sort that I stayed in last year when I scratched, and that was quite a nice moment, cycling off up the hill. But yeah, and I've kind of just realised that I'm not, I'm riding well and feel like I'm riding like a decent pace, but I'm not, I don't know if it's a combination of being old or maybe not wanting to hurt myself as much as the guys who are like going proper fast, as in like I'm not doing long enough days out on the bike to be anywhere near the top end of the field. So I'm kind of like, yeah, just trying to like rest well. I had like 7 hours in the hotel last night, which was dreamy, and a banging breakfast, and I saw a fridge with like just little yogurts in, like petit fluf. And I just like start crying because I was just like, oh yeah, best thing I've seen all week. So yeah, it was pretty funny.
It's amazing what brings the tears out in people.
With around an hour and a half to go before the 4 p.m. cutoff at CP4, Adam Page, Cap Number 1, rolls in to Prulan. This comes after a tricky start to the race.
Hi.
I hear you've got a good story about having to replace your tyres.
Good story.
Bad story for you?
It wasn't a good story for me, no. I brought the wrong tyres. I brought road tyres to a gravel race. A little bit silly. Thought I'd be a little bit quicker. And then got to the second parkour. Not the opening. Second parkour. First parkour. I don't know. First hill. Thought I'd ride up. And, back tyre just exploded. And then I brought an old broken inner tube as my backup tube. Put that in. That didn't work. Made a mess everywhere. And then used my only spare one. And then very tentatively cycled on some really gnarly gravel in the dark. And then got a leaky front tyre. And then slept for like 3 hours. And then nursed the front tyre every 3 kilometres all the way to, can't remember where, like east of
Sabin Yan.
Yeah, that one.
The one that no one can pronounce.
Yeah. So not the best start, but quick fix. The guy was awesome in the shop. These have been great so far.
Nice.
So happy days. Yeah. It's all looking up. It's just everything else is not so good now. Tyres are great. Body's bad.
Mika Luostarinen, Cap 84, makes it to CP4 and maintains his position in general classification. He's managed to get there with what you might reasonably call an unconventional setup.
I see you've got your bike set up as a single speed and you've got a rear mech cable just dangling out of your frame.
Yeah.
What has happened?
Just like a couple of weeks ago, I was in another cycling event and broke my derailleur hanger there and couldn't find one for this frame in time. So I tried 3D printing and welding and ordering one, but it didn't fit. So now I'm going with single speed.
Fair play. That's tough work. Can you switch? But you can switch on the front, can you?
I would need to change the length of the chain to do that.
So you're riding the whole race in your big ring on the front mech and kind of halfway down your cassette at the rear.
It's about 52 on the front and 16 on the back.
How are your knees coping?
They hurt a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
With less than 1 hour to go before CP4 closes, Wolfgang Dieterle, Cap 124, rolls in to get his Brevet card stamped.
Can you tell me where you stayed last night?
I was in, I don't know the name of the village.
Sort?
Yes, and I tried to find a hotel there, but when I tried to call there, the number was incomplete, and I was a bit tired and a bit annoyed of the day because I had a big hike in the morning. And so I decided to take the next one, which is on booking.com, and it was just, they said it's 1.7 kilometers from the center. And I didn't look at it. I booked. And then I saw the 1.7 kilometers are if you connect two dots, but not if you use the street, because that was 9.3 kilometers. And it was up on the mountain, 823 meters to go up, and on the wrong side of the valley. And today in the morning, going down half an hour to get back on the track.
So you did an hour and a half of climbing to get to your hotel for the night.
I think 1 hour of climbing and half an hour to get down, but I slept there so good. And it was a good air and good water, and perhaps I must think of these things.
Yeah.
Another rider to get to CP4 within the cutoff time is Leila Sabuti, Cap 72. Last year, as an ultra novice, Leila had an early fall and was forced to scratch before delighting dot watchers with her race illustrations. This year, she's putting in an incredibly strong performance. It's hard to overstate just how difficult it is to take part in a race like TPR. It's a physical challenge, but it's also an emotional, life-changing experience.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yesterday I was really doubting myself that I would get here. So I got a bit emotional.
Yeah.
but yeah, yesterday was really hard mentally, but then I had like the best night ever because of the moon. Yeah. Did you see the moon yesterday?
It was incredible, wasn't it? Such a bright full moon and such a clear sky.
Yeah, and so yeah, I just rode through the night with the moon and I saw two shooting stars and I made two wishes. And one of them was that I would get here before the cutoff. And I did.
You managed it with an hour to spare.
Yeah, now I have to fulfill the second wish.
Can you tell us what that is?
Getting to CP5 before cutoff.
I think you'll make it.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll let you go. Come here. You're doing great.
Yeah.
All right. Well done.
Thanks.
We'll see you there tomorrow.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Bye.
Ride safe.
The 4 p.m. cutoff time passes at CP4. Not too long after, Michael Drummond, Cap 81, arrives. Michael is another rider who's taking part, having been behind the lens on previous races. Unfortunately, he put an old route into his bike computer and pedaled hard, only to reach, inevitably, the wrong CP4 destination. Despite the disappointment, Michael speaks to Hannah about some of the highlights from the past 24 hours, which include rider yodeling and some excitable wildlife.
Yeah, the last two nights my head's been like in a real defeatist mode. I mean, I thought I was fit enough to kind of like rally up the miles I wanted to, but equally, you know, it's a loaded bike, it's big hills, lots of elevation. The hiker bike was delightful. Like, I got into the zone on that and just absolutely sent up it. Like, I got to the top within like an hour and 35 minutes or something. Then the descent, I think I, Moritz, I don't know if you've seen the tracker, but we seem to keep on exchanging like little sections. So we kind of like divert, and then I heard someone talking. I'm not sure he's Swiss or German, but I heard it and I was like, Moritz? And he's like, Michael? And he was like half a kilometer down the mountain.
You're yodeling to each other.
Essentially, yeah, yeah. And we just keep on crossing paths because we take a different route and then we just converge again. But whenever I got a chance to ride, I mean, I was just pushing my bike. A lot of people had harnesses and over their shoulder, but I know what works for me. And I'm a shit hiker. So I use my walking poles where I can, which are in the form of Strand Force hydraulic brakes that are really, really good at scaring wildlife as well.
Nice.
Although I have been attracting some, yeah, pretty aggressive and horny deer. But that's a different story. But
we've got all evening.
But yeah, I was just trying to like ride a little bit here and there, and I think I fell off about six times, but in a really fun way. Like, it was just like jovial, and I got to the point where I was just aiming for the bigger rocks and then slowing down enough just to kind of like endo into them and then just keel over into the soft grass. So it was kind of like just giggling, and I was making some pretty mad noises. And then I heard Moritz up the hill. I was like, you make some funny noises. They're entertaining. And I was like, they keep me happy too.
It's been a really busy day here at Control Point 4 in Prullans. We've had 59 riders through within the general classification time cutoff, which finished at 4 p.m. this afternoon. And we've still got 34 riders out on the road who haven't scratched yet, who are still racing for a race finish, even if they're outside the general classification cutoff. It's been really nice to see lots of riders just super happy to have made the cutoff and to have really enjoyed the parkour up at Jezda Sedanja. Lots of riders describing it as Gucci gravel, or much easier going gravel than some of the earlier parkour. And yeah, I think spirits were generally pretty high, but it's clearly also been quite a roller coaster for a lot of people, and lots of riders were clearly quite emotional. Whether that was feeling emotional at making it within the time cut, or whether it was describing their moments of emotion out on the race. yeah, I think we've just got to that stage of the race where accumulated fatigue is kicking in and riders might be a bit tired or hungry, and emotions just feel a lot more raw when you're in a state like that. To get to the coastal parkour from here is a relatively easy ride in comparison to a lot of what they've tackled so far. Just one or two reasonable size climbs, but a lot of descending and flat riding to get there. So hopefully a bit of recovery for their legs, and hopefully it'll just feel good for them to be making some quick progress as they approach there.
While the action at CP4 has dominated the day for the mid-pack, there is a serious race now developing up front. That same group of riders, led by Tim De Vitter, Cap 111, have completed Parkour 5 on the coast and cycled inland to Control Point 5. Next is the Raid Parkour. Race director, David Eyre.
The Control Point 5 in Albania is a place called La Rectoria. It's a bar that is positioned in the main square of the small town. It's a very small, kind of quiet village on the edge of the mountains. And from there, riders are making their way round to the start of the Raid Parkour, which is the 679 kilometres with 18,000 metres of climbing that stands between them and the finish parkour back into San Sebastian. The raid has more than 30 cols spanning the entire width of the Pyrenees. Some classics in there from well-known storied climbs from professional races, such as the Col de Tourmalet, the Col d'Aspin, and the Peyresourde. Riders will have to tackle each of these in turn as they make their way across. It's a formidable prospect for even the most seasoned of ultra cyclists, and we wish everyone good luck as they make their way across back towards San Sebastian.
It's evening on day four, and the first few riders now find themselves on the first section of the Raid Parkour. Tim De Vitter is still leading, but he's being chased by Maxime Agut, Cap 80, and Thomas Bury, Cap 109. Tim's also having to deal with his bike, which seems to be falling apart on him. Race reporter Stuart Downey caught up with Tim at the top of the Col de Paille.
It's not going well with me.
No?
Oh. I had not all of reef supplies, and I'm basically like living on milk. And in Aksat, I found a butcher shop, so I bought some salami. That's really, if I'm going so slow. And my bike gave up on me, it's boycotting me. I had to replace my rear tire because it was worn after 500 kilometers. So I had to go to, I found a shop on Sunday around lunchtime. It's like, oh, okay, but yeah, then I had to wait half hour. And then yesterday evening at the end of Parkour 5, my shifting cable snapped.
And you managed to replace it?
Yeah, but that also took like too long, and it's so frustrating. And I mean, altogether, I lost like 2 hours with, like, my frame bracket is broken, my power meter doesn't work, I lost my battery red light on the hike bike. These things are coming loose the whole time, like, my bike is really abandoning me.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I could replace the wire, but there was something stuck, like, of the old part, so I had to completely, like, screw it open.
Oh, wow.
And then take it out. I was like, oh, luckily I managed that. But then, yeah, then I still had to like cut the wire. And that's fun with a pocket knife. Like standing like a lunatic, like 10, 15 minutes. Oh, Jesus.
As day four ends, everything is set up perfectly for a fantastic second half of the race. Here's David again with a summary of how things stand.
We have come to the end of the fourth day of TPR number 5. Tim De Vitter is continuing to set the pace for the race and is leading Max Agut and Thomas Bury at the moment. So those three have been forging ahead. We saw Tim earlier this evening as the sun was setting on top of the Col de Paille. Beautiful pinky purple skies and a really clear full moon setting behind him as well. And then Max following about 40 minutes later, looking really fresh. We'd seen him slightly earlier in the day where he was fixing punctures, and mechanicals really now becoming the story for him and Tim. It seems that they, after more than 1,000 kilometres of racing now, they're starting to see their bikes and their bodies break down a little bit. So they're having to manage and nurse different niggles or pains or problems with their kit in a way that allows them to keep moving forward as well. So I think it would be interesting to see over the next day or two as they make their way back towards the finish in San Sebastian how well they're able to do that. In the women's field, we can see that Hélène Fromentie and Nicole van Battenberg are down by the coastal parkour in the Mediterranean, so parkour 5 on this year's race. They've been very evenly matched over the course of the race. They've traded the lead on a number of occasions and are starting to open up a small gap now on Joanna in third place. Meanwhile, lots of riders continue to pass through control point 5 in Albania, in Catalonia. After a long wait for the volunteers there for the first rider to arrive, they've now been coming through quite consistently. So there is a longer road route round from the control point to the start of the Ray Parkour, but for riders who are still seeking to find any advantage that they can during the race and save themselves some distance or elevation, there's also a gravel cut through from Albania to the start of the raid, so there is advantage to be gained there, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in terms of the dynamic as the riders race their way across the raid.
Join us for our next episode, where we can expect more riders to start the long journey home on the Ray Parkour. Will Tim De Vitter's bike keep itself together enough for him to maintain a lead? Or will Maxime Aucut and the chasing pack be able to overtake and forge their own way back towards San Sebastian? Remember, there's still plenty of gravel for them all to contend with too. You can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.